My Reflections on the Revolution by Giraldo Mazzola. Giraldo Mazzola, one of the actors of the Cuban Revolution, recalls experiences of the first period of this exceptional historic event for Latin America and the Caribbean.
Today I want to speak about the solidarity of the North American people. During the act commemorating the second anniversary of the victory of the 1st of January in the square of the Revolution, on January 2nd, 1961, Fidel Castro, under an impertinent drizzle, denounced the repeated threats of the United States government and the acts of sabotage originated with impunity from its territory, and warned that the subversive action of the American diplomats in Cuba would be ended, whose number, besides being excessive, was plagued by CIA agents, and that in the future they would have to have the same number of officials that our embassy in Washington. The atmosphere was very tense. The information about the forthcoming attack to our country was ostensibly public. Eisenhower and Nixon, as they later confessed in their memories, ordered the CIA on March 17, 1960, to prepare a military contingent to repeat the same invasion they had made against Guatemala in 1954. The sabotage against our cane fields, factories, and towns by planes coming from the north were constant. Some North American pilots were shot down in those terrorist attacks. The naval base at Guantanamo, today an illegal prison, was reinforced with more than 1,000 Marines. Our people on the warpath were mobilized and patriotic ardor vibrated everywhere. The Cuban Revolution, as a historical continuity of the unfinished deed initiated in 1868, finally conquered its true and irreversible independence. We had defeated a trained army, financed and advised by the North American government that was, like the other military bodies in the continent, designed for popular repression. The impunity that prevailed in the colony and took over in the Mediated Republic was liquidated, and all those who committed crimes or tortures were tried and condemned. The thievery with which civilian and military rulers looted the public treasure ceased, and the wealth accumulated through the thief was confiscated. The first agrarian law eliminated the landlords and handed over land to every Cuban who worked it. We recovered all our national riches, the mining wealth, nationalized the fundamental industries, most of them North American, made an investment process that was always disadvantageous for the country. We conquered the right to speak on our own, and we stopped being the domesticated appendix of the empire in which they converted us. The republic that José Martí, the apostle, dreamed arose, and the people massively prepared to defend with their lives the rights that were violated. Never before had a small country in America erected with such virility after the dreams of Bolívar and Sandino. But even in this moment of maximum tension, and in those that would come later, we Cubans, always we knew how to distinguish between the voracious designs of the United States government and the friendly extended hand of the American people. To participate in the celebration of that second anniversary of the triumph of the Revolution, we were visited by an American and Canadian brigade of 450 members of the Fair Play for Cuba Committee. An American journalist who visited the Sierra Maestra during the armed struggle and interviewed the main guerrilla leaders, Bob Taylor, was impressed by his transparency and willingness to sacrifice for the interests of his people, and as soon as the first attacks and campaigns again our small country began, because our determination to recover our sovereignty and wealth, he linked himself with other compatriots, initiating a campaign in defense of our rights. After Fidel's speech on January 3rd, an official reception was offered by President Osvaldo Orticós at the Presidential Palace to the guests of those festivities, the diplomatic corps, and the government. On the night of the reception, the halls of the palace were crowded, and around Fidel there were hundreds of visitors trying to see up close and converse with the leader of the revolution, and also surrounded Dorticos, located at the other end of the main hall. It was at that reception that the news of the rupture of diplomatic relations became known. I was around the commander-in-chief assuring that there were officials able to translate him, and I had gone to where Dorticos was to supervise the same scene when an assistant whispered something in his ear. We all enjoyed an excellent tamal in casserole when the president said, "If the news he just gave me had been told to any of the presidents who passes through this palace, I assure you that the dish in which they ate had fallen. As you can see, mine does not fall, and I will finish tasting the tasty tamal." The U.S. government does not realize that this revolution, led by Fidel, has an indestructible popular base, and the rupture of diplomatic relations that they have just made as a prelude of the aggression they prepare does not intimidate us, does not take away the dream, as does not make me tremble so that my plate does not fall down. So, with equanimity, he brought the news to the group around him. Later, I received the instruction to summon the American delegation to the Cuban Institute of Friendship Among the People, headquarters, the next morning to reiterate that was clear to them, that is to say that we were convinced of the difference between the sinister designs of their government and the friendly sentiment of the people they represented. The meeting in the CAT, where we saw that perhaps some of their members would be worried about their situation in a country that has its own nation began to attack, was another scene. After my brief explanation, a broken Spanish boat proposed to donate blood as a possible and practical gesture to help us with something immediately, because they were convinced that such rupture of diplomatic relations was the prelude to a military aggression. From there, I had to coordinate immediately that donation that was massive and that, at the same time, was made that morning. I am sure that such blood should be used to assist one of our military men wounded months later in Bay of Pigs invasion.
You have heard Geraldo Mazzola, one of the actors of the Cuban Revolutionary Saga, in his program, My Reflections on the Revolution.